Chapter 14. Dispensations change. Principles change not. Nehemiah lived under the dispensation and divine government of the Mosaic Law. The coming of Christ, the Redeemer, was still centuries in the future. He knew nothing about the purposes of God to redeem man from sin and judgment through the intervention of the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus. He knew not that the Son of God, as a sacrificial lamb, would be slain for the remission of sin. Nehemiah had no revelation of the cross, and that there the final and awful judgment of sin was to be meted out upon the vicarious Lamb of God. The cross, where God was reconciled with enemy world, was totally hidden from Nehemiah's eyes. He had to find his way through the labyrinthine morass of the seeming contradiction of his faith in a true and loving God and the horrors of the defeat, destruction, and massacres of Jerusalem, God's city. God's city in the sight of his altar in the temple. He had to work his way through the humiliation of his and his compatriots' slavery and find a faith once again in a compassionate, merciful Jehovah that would answer his prayer. Today, after the revelation of the gospel, another covenant and another set of promises are given to men. A new covenant was made and ratified by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. However, the pronounced and promised judgments that God gave have not changed, but the Creator designed that rather than be executed upon his people, they were to be executed once and forever upon the sacrificial and vicarious Lamb of God, the Lamb who took away the sins of the world, and that those believed in him and fled to him for refuge should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nehemiah, finally, after months of mental and spiritual struggle, with the help of light from the Spirit of God, arrived to the conclusion that the just and righteous God who meted out retribution was at the same time a God whose very nature was love, a deity that delighted in mercy and took no pleasure in retributive judgment, a God whose wisdom, power, and love were so great that he could provide a way in which he could be holy, just, and administrator of justice, yet at the same time he also could and would forgive sins. A God filled with grace and mercy for the penitent. He could and would pardon and reverse his judgments in mercy, yet at the same time he would never break his covenant or violate any promises. The covenant promises of judgment are as true and sure as they had ever been. But they never made void one single promise of mercy and grace, because God, long before man was created, had already made provision to activate and exercise his prerogative of grace and mercy that ever flowed from his heart of love and compassion. Though Nehemiah knew it not, nevertheless, God had from the beginning fully anticipated the weaknesses and rebellions of man and had planned their full pardon. He preordained that the cross of Jesus should provide restitution of fellowship with God by becoming the vicarious victim of retributive punishment. Therefore, the same God that promised punishment for sin also had promised grace, mercy, and restoration in promises equally strong and valid. His promised grace was given because he had provided a way in which man, through the sinner, through repentance, could be pardoned from the penalty of all his sins. Repentance, however, is still as much in vogue today as it was in the days of Nehemiah. Repentance is ever and always received well in the courts of heaven at the throne of grace. Nehemiah found that the door into mercy and miraculous intervention of God in his concerns was repentance, and that door stands forever open. All scribes of the histories of great revivals write that the door of repentance was always a way to find hope, that repentance was the entrance and the way through which grace could flow out in divine compassion, mercy, and pardon. That fruitful aperture of repentance can only be found by the eyes of faith in a faithful, covenant-keeping Creator. Nehemiah wrestled hard and long to find the faith that could believe in the mercies of God. All about him, he saw and experienced only the hurt, pain, and sorrow of judgment. He lived in the affliction and anguish of outpoured judgment, and daily sought devastation and grief in his compatriots and fellow captives. However, in spite of that, like Moses, Nehemiah found faith and could see a wonderful and loving God whose attributes were unmitigated holiness as well as mercy and grace. He could see that, in spite of God's judgmental reaction to the wickedness of men, those same judgments were not designed to destroy, but to correct and to bring his rebellious children back into grace and fellowship with himself. Through his revelation of the covenant-keeping faithfulness of God, he was led into the real faith in God. Through that faith and prayer, Nehemiah was released from his judgmental captivity and life of slavery and shame. He was lifted up in honor and given a commission by King Artaxerxes to return to Jerusalem, to restore the walls and gates of the city, and eventually to become the prime minister of Jerusalem under the commission and orders of the king of Persia. All this came to pass because Nehemiah took the grief and sorrow of his burden to the Lord. He fasted, he prayed, he sat down, he waited, and did so for 4 months until the vision was made plain, until he could find the way unto the throne of grace in heaven, and the road to return to Jerusalem.